Welcome to So Here's the Thing, the podcast for small business owners, entrepreneurs, and creative educators who are ready to take their business to the next level. Through candid conversations, tactical approaches, and a few unpopular opinions, we're lifting the veil on what it takes to build both a life and a business that you love. I'm your host, Layli Amati, a coach for creatives and founder of the Creative Educator Academy, where I help entrepreneurs step into the role of industry leaders and educators. I am so glad that you're here. Now let's jump into today's episode. Hey friends, welcome back to the show. Today we have the truest like sunshine of the world, Maddie Pichon. She is joining us to talk all about several things, actually. We're going to be talking about pivoting. We're going to be talking about different revenue streams or not. Hint, hint. Like we're going to be getting into the real unpopular opinion slash like you guys know we don't hold back here. Maddie is a branding photographer and educator. She is obsessed with teaching women entrepreneurs how to build a profitable business that fits into their life and fills them with joy. And she does it so well. You guys can probably already tell from that snippet that we are basically twins separated at birth. We just have so much in common. Like I feel like every time we DM on Instagram, I'm just like, why are we the same person? I love it. I love it so much. She's also a mastermind host. She's a coach. She is the host of the Take It Personally podcast. She's a studio founder. She does all the things. So again, separated at birth. Love it so much. Maddie, thank you for coming onto the show.
Oh my gosh. I'm so excited to be here. I also can't believe I was thinking about this morning that this is aside from like a brief phone conversation, this is like the first time that we've really talked face to face, which is hilarious because we are twins.
Wait, it actually isn't. I just noticed that. I think because I watch your stories on Instagram, yes. I feel like we talk a lot.
Same.
And that, honestly, that phone call doesn't count because it was like crisis, meltdown, panic, breakdown. Yeah. Yeah. So that doesn't count, but I love it.
Isn't that funny?
It's really funny. That's so crazy. I feel like we've known each other forever.
I know.
Like even chatting before we hit record, it's like, I was just like, hey girl. Like we're.
I know. I love it so much. That's why, like, whenever people talk about how terrible the internet is, I'm like, oh, I've made such good relationships there. Like, I'm so thankful for it.
Yeah. I call it the best and the worst. Like,
because it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It really is. Okay. So Maddie is amazing and sent over like all these options of ways to take this conversation. But y'all know who are listening. We're just going to go with the flow. And mm-hmm. I'm actually going to start us off on this chat. Wait, actually rewind, backtrack. Maddie, tell us a little bit about you, like how you got to where you are. Give us like the brief history so people can get to know you a little bit. And then I will be me and switch lanes quickly.
Amazing. That sounds great. So my name is Maddie Pichon. I'm a brand photographer and coach based in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. So in the Midwest, I have been a photographer for about 12 years now, and I've been doing brand photography for about 5, and I only do brand photography in the photography space. So I'm not doing families or weddings anymore. I also, as you mentioned, I have a photography studio. So that's another like piece of my business. It's called White Space. And we're actually in kind of an interesting transition right now. We just closed our first space and we are building and moving into our new space in the next couple of weeks. So this is a nice view of my office. If I were to turn the camera around, it would be like a bunch of props that don't have a home right now. So that's fun. And then a couple of years ago, right, actually early 2020, I started coaching for the first time. And that's taken a lot of different forms over the years. But eventually I landed on teaching and coaching photographers how to pivot into brand photography, because that's an area that I know really well. And so I host a program 3 times a year called Rebrand, and it's for photographers who want to pivot into brand photography. And it's probably one of my most favorite things that I do right now. It's so fun. It's so fulfilling. And it's been really cool to really try and like perfect something and make it better every time. So that's what takes up a lot of my time right now, business-wise. And then I'm married. I'm a mom of 3 kids. We have a probably elderly golden retriever at this time. I think that she qualifies as elderly. Yeah, I think that's about it. That covers me.
Oh man, I love it. Okay, I have so many things to talk about on that. But first, how old is your golden retriever?
She just turned 12, I believe.
Oh, yeah,
and so she's the best.
My eldest cat is also elderly and is turning 12 this year. And I'm like, oh, it's so crazy. And he is like the cat version of a golden retriever. He's an orange cat and acts like a dog. It's great.
I love it.
Anyway, Okay, so now talking about actual podcast stuff on topic, it's fine. My listeners know I'm crazy. So a few things that I want to just touch on before we dive into like this topic that I love that you described that nobody else does. I mean, I say nobody else does, but I feel like it's rare that I see this as an educator for educators and a coach for educators myself. The thing I heard you do so right, like so well, I want to talk about, because I think that a lot of my listeners maybe are either wanting to pivot or wanting to add in coaching or education. And they're like, am I ready? Am I not? I love that you teach what you do currently. This is like hot topic. I mean, my whole life is unpopular opinions, but this is like hot topic, unpopular opinion. Like, well, what if you want to become, you're a photographer or you're an artist or you're a planner and you want to teach it, but then you want to retire from doing that thing. Are you still relevant? And honestly, my blunt kind of hard ass answer is like, probably not, because all of the things we all know with our current world and society, things change every day. And so unless you're doing that thing actively, marketing it and selling it well, after a couple years, your knowledge, unless you're keeping up with the trends and studying them religiously, like you're not going to have that knowledge to be able to help people do that thing. So I think it depends what it is you're teaching, but if you're teaching on becoming a successful brand photographer, you currently are one. And I love that you're doing both of those things at the same time. And then the other thing is, I just did quick mental math because math is not my strong suit, but I can do this kind of math. You said you've been shooting for 12 years and you started adding in coaching in 2020. So that was what, like 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love how established you were before you started doing it. And of course, everybody knows who listens to me. My job, like my livelihood depends on people wanting to become great educators, but there's something so solid in having a really strong foundation before you get going into education, because it just helps you. It helps you thrive faster, right?
100%. And I think that that's one of the biggest mistakes that I see younger or newer photographers making, creatives too, but I'm definitely more like in the photography world, is wanting to add coaching before, or education or whatever, before they're ready. And I even think that there was a bit of me doing that, and I was 8 years in, and even still there is such a learning curve. And you also, like, you're then talking to two different audiences, and you have to really be aware of like the seasonality around like the different pieces of your business. Like, there are so many things to consider, and it's a totally different skill set. Like, me teaching someone in a way that they can really understand and grasp, and then like take what I'm teaching them and make it their own for their own business. Me having the skills to do that is so different than me having the skills to have a kick-ass brand photography session, right? And I don't think, you know, some of that is like learn as you go or learn from people like you, certainly. But it's easier, I think, if you are established and if you've been doing this for a while and if you have really data to back up why should someone learn from you. I think that that's another thing that we need to be a little bit more blunt with people who want to go into education about. Like, why should someone want to learn from you? You need to be able to answer that question, because if you can't, nobody else can either.
100%. I agree. I think that is like such a good point for people to really think over as they start to like go into education, or even if they're already in it and they're like, okay, why isn't this? The question I get asked as a coach all the time for educators is, well, why isn't this selling faster? Like, why isn't this going faster? I'm seeing all these other people go faster. And I'm like, okay, we need to slow our roll. Like, this is, we're playing the long game here. So
yes,
amazing. Okay. So for the listeners, I was going through all the topics that Maddie is an expert at. And of course, what do? I think back to a DM that I sent Maddie months and months ago in response to a story or a reel or something that you posted. And I was like, Maddie, can we talk about this? And of course, she very graciously said yes, because I just feel like the point of this podcast when I first started it was giving you guys the insight into conversations I'm having in DMs and in private. And this was just such a great point. So Maddie posted a story or a reel. And correct me if I'm wrong, it was something about if you were to go back and try to hit 100K now, what revenue streams would you focus on? Because we're always being told, and I'm guilty of telling people this too. This is, again, my job is to tell people, like, you need to diversify your revenue streams. How do you do that? How do you add new revenue streams? And what did you say about it?
I would pick one revenue stream and scale that first. And I think that this is one of the reasons why I have had success with adding quite a few revenue streams. Now, I'm not saying that that is the way to grow your business. It's really interesting. Like now it's, I can definitely tell that, you know, with, I have essentially three like pretty established businesses, and you do kind of become a little bit held back in each of them because your attention can only be in one place, right? And so I see colleagues of mine who have coaching businesses where their coaching is their full-time job, and they are able, they're not in the photography industry, but they're able to scale that so much faster, whereas my attention is a little bit more split up. I wouldn't do it differently. I really enjoy my job and I like the different areas. And I do agree that I think that there is value in diversifying your business, right? But I think that there's a time and a place for it. And so many people try to diversify before they even have a solid foundation. And that's going to cause a lot of issues long term. I think of like my photography business as a teenager, right? Like it's established. We've kind of gone through those growing pains. Like it's not quite as new. My coaching business and my photography studio are like barely out of toddlerhood right now. And so if I had three toddler businesses, it would look very different. But because the photography business is so well established and rooted, it does allow me a little bit more room to play with other things.
I love that so much. Like, I feel like this is something people just don't talk about. And I remember when I first got into speaking on becoming an educator, I would always tell people like, hey, disclaimer, this is not for everybody. And maybe you want to become the very best watercolor artist and you want to reach the top of your game in that. And then you increase your prices in that. Maybe if as a photographer, you want to become the next like Jose Villa or whoever, you know, and maybe you want to be able to diversify by doing coffee table books or whatever it is. There's so many ways to stay within your niche. Mm-hmm. But I feel like people don't talk about like to reach certain thresholds that we think are super important, which that's its own conversation. It's like deciding what is it, is six figures really necessary for you? Is seven figures really necessary for you? Is a whole nother conversation. But to reach those lengths, like what is the best way? So I love that you said that. So I guess this leads perfectly into the next kind of question or topic of pivoting, right? Like you said, we both do so many things and I wouldn't change that. However, it has been difficult because I have to sometimes, mm-hmm. you know, prune away at like, okay, what do I cut out? What do I cut out to make time for this? What do I cut out to make time for that? What do I cut out to make time for myself? You know? So, but how do you know, what does it mean to pivot? And then how do you know when it's time to pivot? And how do you pivot like in a really smart and strategic way without leaving behind the thing that you are established in?
Yeah, I think so much of it comes back to really learning to listen to your intuition and understand and giving that time. Like it's probably not something where you're going to like wake up one day and know what the answer is, but letting yourself kind of play and like listen to how you're feeling and how like what you're thinking about like a certain pivot. It is so important that with a pivot, it's coming from the right place. And what I see happen really often with people who want to get into education, perhaps a little bit too soon, and maybe they would be fantastic educators, but they're just kind of jumping the gun a little bit. That usually comes from a place of like really striving to hit something like 100K or like $10,000 months or whatever that, you know, gets talked about in education. And maybe they hit like $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 a year. And they have this moment of being like, this is so hard. Like there is no way that this is going to happen with one stream of revenue. So I have to add something else in. When actually, again, what that's doing is diverting their attention before they're ready to do that. I think it also can come from a place of what they label as boredom. I would say it's not necessarily boredom, but being worried that they're going to get bored with their business as is. Like they need variety, right? They need something different. And really, that's just, I think that that's a diversion. I think that that's fear. There aren't, you know, it takes a business owner who is very aware of themselves and their business and that sort of thing to take the time to really make something truly scalable and better every time and like really work on perfecting something. And I think we shy away from that because of shiny object syndrome or because we're, again, we think we'll be bored or something like that. And so I think so often that's what's happening, is that people are like striving for some marker. And then when it takes them what they label as too long to get there, they want to add something in, when really what you should be doing is pruning and taking stuff out and asking yourself, how can I make this one thing better and more scalable? And then once it's to that place, consider adding something else in.
Oh my gosh, I love that so much. And I love that you talked about shiny object syndrome. Like, I'd love to talk a little bit more about that and how people can avoid it. I feel like shiny object syndrome, or I call it like the what's next mentality, like what's next in quotes, because that's how I see it, is I'm constantly, and I've been that way since I was a kid. I think it's that whole like Enneagram 3/ADHD where I'm like, cool, did it, achieved it, nailed it, what's next? And that has been super detrimental to me, honestly, like being 100% transparent. Overcoming that has been one of like the hurdles of my life, but it has changed my life when I was able to recognize, like you said, self-awareness of like, I'm doing what's next just to be able to do what's next. Mm-hmm. But how would you advise somebody to overcome that? Because I'm probably took the long way around. So
Oh my gosh. Yes, totally. I think it was, I mean, this is maybe not a helpful answer. I think as I've gotten older, I have found more pride in wanting to make something really good. You know, like I spent a lot of years just like bouncing around and calling it shiny object syndrome and calling it, it's my ADHD. And don't get me wrong, like that's at play for sure. But as I've gotten older, I have found that like, no, I want something that I'm really proud of. I want something that's really thoughtful and strategic. And I want to spend time with this curriculum or with what it is that I'm teaching. Like, I want this to be the best in the industry, which is a really interesting shift because I never felt that way before. I'm not type A. I'm not a perfectionist. And so those tendencies were not something I was familiar with. But I think that there was something about just getting older and being like more established in my business where I was like, no, that's what I want. I don't want to create something new every year. I want to make something the best that it can possibly be. And so that's not really an answer because it was kind of more of an evolution, but I think really spending time with that thought of like, what does it look like to make this better? What does it look like to maybe work less on this particular stream of my business, but like have the work be better? What could that look like for my life? I think that that's an important like thing to think through.
Yeah, 100%. This reminds me of a conversation I had on the podcast earlier with Jen Olmsted of Tonic Sight Shop. And she said that their whole business motto as of like a couple years ago was do less, but better. I think watch me botch that quote. So you guys have to go listen to that episode, but I'm pretty sure it was like do less, but better. And I love that concept. I feel like, and even like you said, it's not an answer, but I think it is an answer of just like allowing that evolution to happen and allowing the thoughts to kind of marinate and think through, like, is that something I'm doing? Should I be aware of that? And also I think a big part of this, as somebody who agrees that the older I get and the more established I get, I feel that way, is we're seeing so many people do it the other way. And we're seeing so many people sell the like launch and scale your course in 3 days. And I'm sitting here thinking as a coach for educators, like, ew, why?
So you. Yeah.
Why would you ever do that?
Why? What on this planet is like good because it was fast? You know what I mean? Like that's just not, when we look at really successful established businesses, that is not how they were created. So it's so bizarre to me that that's something that we are like striving for. And I get it. We're impatient. We all have the attention spans of gnats. I understand that. But like, if this is a business that you want to be around years from now, fast is not the best way. And I think that some of that you had asked earlier, like how do you know when it's time to pivot? And I think that this conversation kind of comes back to that too, because that was a fairly long period of time for me, not necessarily fighting it, but just kind of being like, no, like there's a lot of educators. I don't need to be one of them. And it kept coming up. Like I found myself doing it when I was getting my hair done, and I found myself doing it to the other moms at preschool. And I found, you know, I was coaching, I was teaching, I was doing all these things without getting paid for it. And I was fine with that because it was fun and I was good at it. And so then when people started to recognize that in me, coaching, coaches and colleagues and say, like, you know, not everybody thinks like this. Like, have you thought about getting more into education or more into coaching? It was something that I listened to. And that didn't happen in 2 days of me waking up and being like, I want to make more money. So I want to be a coach now. Like that was an evolution too, of really learning to listen to like where I was being pulled. And that took time.
I feel like I'm going crazy when I'm on Instagram scrolling and I'm just seeing all of these like quote unquote coach for coaches, which I make fun of that term. And I am that, like, I am a coach for coaches. But I just feel like I don't understand how they're out here peddling the idea that you should pre-launch a course or a program and just figure it out as you go. And I'm like, how do you sleep at night taking somebody's money and figuring it out as you go? Like, no. Friends, sit your ass down and figure it out first. Mm-hmm. And then let's do this the right ethical way. Anyway, soapbox. But yes, I love that. So let's say we know it's time to pivot, right? Like, we're like, okay, I am self-aware. I am established. My foundation is strong. I can now like do that. Okay, what do I do now?
Yeah, that's a really great question. Okay, so I don't think personally, this is something that I talk with a lot with my photographer clients who are pivoting into brand photography, right? Mm-hmm. It's always this question of like, do I need to make this like big announcement? Does this need to be a whole thing? Like, do I need to have my website ready to go and my social ready to go and I flip a switch and it's all great? Maybe. You certainly could. I would never. I just don't have the capacity for that kind of thing. I also have found having the studio has shown me this. People like behind the scenes. People like to come along for the ride. And so I think you're missing out on some really cool content and connection points if you kind of bring people along for what that transition looks like for you, and let them know like, hey, this is a new area that I'm exploring going in my business. And this is the time that I'm spending on it. And come along with me and kind of see how it goes. People really enjoy that. And I spent a lot of years being like, oh no, they want the before and they want the after and they don't want like the messy middle. And I suppose there's some truth in that, but people are nosy. They like the behind the scenes. So I don't think it needs to be a big flip of a switch. I think it can be what I typically recommend. And this is more on the photography side, but I think it would work in education too, is to start out by doing specific reach outs. So what I tell photographers who want to go into brand photography is like, reach out to some dream clients and ask them if they'd be interested in like a discounted low price session as you build your portfolio. And I think the same concept could apply to education. And I have had clients and friends do that to kind of get their feet wet and see like, what could a curriculum look like? And I think that, and I would love to hear your thoughts on this too. I think that is a really ethical way to learn how to be a coach on the job and how to educate on the job without overcommitting to like selling this big thing that you're not really following through on the promise. And don't get me wrong, I think there has to be some work that's done ahead of time, certainly, but that's a really great way to learn and prune as you go.
Yeah, I completely agree with that, because that's actually, I teach that in the academy, in the Creative Educator Academy, of always start with the one-on-one, do your reach outs for like literally exactly word for word what you said. I also agree with, and I agree with that, like you said, on any, not just on education. Like, if you're listening to this, because I feel like I have a lot of listeners that maybe aren't necessarily educators yet, or they're just doing something in the creative field. Doesn't matter what it is, right? If you're going to pivot into something, start with the one-on-one, like, every time. And I love that. And I love the concept of the reach out, because that's actually really hard for a lot of people.
It's the hardest. Yeah.
I was going to say, is that easy for you? Cause it's hard for me.
It's easier for me now, I think, because I have kind of ripped the Band-Aid off, but I noted, it has become a lot easier for me. I definitely noticed with clients that is something that makes them incredibly uncomfortable. And actually on a call the other day, they kept calling it like cold pitching. And I was like, you guys, we're done calling it cold pitching, because it shouldn't feel like cold pitching. It should feel warm. You should be talking to somebody that you have that established connection with, but it is still pitching. And also, that doesn't have to be bad. Like, if you're offering something that's really valuable and that this person could really benefit from, you can try and really embody that as you're doing that reach out. But yeah, it is uncomfortable. And I think that is difficult for a lot of people, because I think very often we're taught that like if it doesn't feel super good, then we shouldn't be doing it. But that's, I think, often where growth happens too, to be able to have that conversation and be like, okay, they said no, I didn't die. Moving on.
I think I needed to hear that. I'm like, honestly, everybody knows the sales and the pitching, it is my Everest, and I work on it. I work on it daily. I recognize it daily. I say to myself every day, like, when people pitch to me, I'm excited and I totally like the invitation. Why can't I recognize that for other people? But I think it's a whole like cultural deep dive. It's like generational, whatever. Anyway.
Totally. Well, and we don't want to be, you know, used car salesmen, right? Have like the worst rep when it comes to like selling and being a salesman or a saleswoman. And we don't want that feeling, right? And so I think that people immediately equate sales with like car salesmen, but it's not necessarily. Selling is essentially just like letting someone know what it is that you have and how you can help. And then they get to make the decision. That's not on us to make the decision. We just provide the information and then they make the decision. And I think when you can really accept that, like, your job is not to push, your job is not to make them do anything they're not comfortable doing, your job is just to present the facts and step back, I think then it feels a little bit better.
I agree. And I think one great example that was recent that helped me, and I just keep, like, I actually screenshotted it, I put it in my little sunshine folder on my desktop, and it was like, I would have loved to have come to this. I wish I knew it was happening. Next time, will you please send me a direct email? And I was like,
yes.
Like, I should have been emailing people I knew. And the worst part was, I knew this poor girl was interested in coming. And I was like, well, I'm not going to hassle her. She'll see it. If she wants to come, she'll see it. But she didn't see it.
People don't. That happens all the time. And I think I had that happen enough where this has become easier for me too. I would like end promoting mini sessions or something and have people be like, oh my God, I had no idea this was happening. Meanwhile, I'm like, how did you not know? I feel like I'm so annoying with how much I'm talking about this.
Yeah.
But people don't know. They've got their own lives. They go to buy a ticket and then their kid cries. Like, there are so many things at play. And sometimes to have that like one-to-one reach out is really helpful to get them to make a decision. So yes, my little pep talk on pitching.
The most helpful pep talk that everybody needs. Like, maybe we didn't start this conversation for this, but we needed it. Did we want it? No. Did we need it? Yes. I love it. Okay. So as we're wrapping up this episode, we talked about so many things. I like, don't even know our signature question of unpopular opinion. I'm like, about what? I don't even know.
Agreed.
Maybe just, do you have a really like fun and fiery unpopular opinion you want to share about anything in the creative industry?
Oh my gosh. Honestly, I feel like what we started the episode with is kind of mine, and I think we're maybe the same in this. I think that there are so many creatives who would make fantastic educators, and I'm sure that you see this firsthand, but it's not always the right for everyone. And it's also not always the right time. I hear that from a lot of people. Like, they don't want to like lose momentum, or they don't like, right now feels like the time to do it. And if I don't do it right now, it's never going to happen. And I don't really subscribe to that. I think you make your own momentum. I think you can make it the right time. And so heading into any new business venture with that panicked feeling is never going to pan out in a great way. And so don't feel bad or less than if you just kind of need to lean back a little bit and listen to that intuition and listen to like where you feel like you're being pulled, because it doesn't have to be right now in order for it to be a really great thing eventually.
I mean, just wow. Hell yes. That you create that momentum and you can do it anytime. I don't know how many times I have felt that panic and had to talk 100%. Myself down. I know that every listener is probably like, oh, she's talking to me. She's talking to all of us, you guys. We're all in this together. Everyone's going to be like, how dare you attack me? thank you for sharing that. And thank you for sharing everything. Where can people find you? Because I know everyone's going to want to stay connected.
Oh my gosh, I would love that. I spend far too much time on Instagram at Maddie Pashong. That's kind of my handle everywhere at Maddie Pashong, maddiepashong.com. I have a podcast called Take It Personally, and we're just now switching to weekly episodes, which is exciting. And it's all about personal branding and a pretty like big emphasis on brand photography. So if that's something that you want to explore, that would be a fun podcast to check out. But otherwise, yeah, Instagram, and I'm always in my DMs. That's where Layli and I are connecting on a daily basis.
I know, honestly, Maddie is such a fun follow, so you guys need to go follow her. I loved you before we met, so it was great. Thank you so much for being here, Maddie.
Thank you so much for having me.
For show notes and resources mentioned on today's episode, head to sohereslethingpodcast.com. This show is brought to you by the Creative Educator Academy, where we teach creative entrepreneurs how to teach, because I believe that industries thrive when experts can share their knowledge well. If you're enjoying the podcast, I'd love to read your review in iTunes or see your rating on Spotify. Thanks so much for listening, and I'll catch you on the next episode.